Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here, and thank you so very much for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. A very special guest as we welcome back, join me in welcoming back, Don Allen. We're very excited to welcome him back. He's an exceptional clinical social worker, certified EMDR specialist, consultant, public speaker, and certified Gottman therapist as well. And part of his objective today is to seek to bridge the gap between our exhaustion over COVID-19. And he is excited to announce he will be starting to schedule upcoming couples workshops like the Art and Science of Love and the Seven Principles Approach to Marriage created by the Gottman Institute and John and Julie Gottman. These workshops are designed to ideally help struggling couples mend their relationship or help really healthy, happy marriages learn better ways to enhance their love relationship. These workshops will be in person, which is very exciting as well. In this upcoming conversation on today's episode, Don's going to discuss such important topics as the essential need for balance and internal real focus of control, and he'll also talk about how COVID-19 has had major effects on the romantic lives of people. The goal really is to help couples leave workshops with more skills and ability, self-assurance as well, so they can use these skills over a lifetime. Sadly, our society does not really teach these skills in schools, and you know, many of us have never had the role models to teach us these skills, or perhaps we have just never learned them on our own. John and Julie Gottman have incorporated science and a method that can provide this set of skills, and Dr. Allen can bring these exciting methods to you. We're very excited about it. We're going to be talking about couples retreats and so much more, and a little bit more if you weren't with us for the first conversation about Gottman Therapy. We're going to break that down a little bit more for you as well. But first, live and direct from Austin, Texas, let's welcome back Don Allen to Close Up Radio. Don, it's great to have you back with us, and a real pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks so much. I know we've talked off and on a little bit, but I was so excited to come back and share some information and just catch up with you and enjoy a nice hour with you. So good to hear your voice again.
You as well. How have you been since we chatted last? All going well? Everything positive and inspiring as always for you, Don?
Yes. I mean, I got to say I'm really feeling blessed. You know, there's so much going on in the world. And I have to tell you, I'm a clinician and I see people in my office or telephonically. And there's just so much demand for quality mental health. And I know myself, but also my colleagues, we're just really, really working hard to make sure that when people need community mental health, when people need, you know, private work, when people need, you know, even hospitals, those types of things, that, you know, we really, really are there for people. So I'm glad to say that you know, everybody I know is doing our best to bring, you know, quality mental health to people. So, yes, been very happy. I'm avoiding COVID like everybody else, and like I said, I'm working really hard in my office to help folks. So I'm always happy when I'm able to do that. So yeah, things are going well.
Living your bliss, absolutely, and that's fantastic, Don. So happy to hear that. I mentioned in the introduction that we're going to sort of define for those listening for the first time or those who want a refresher from the previous conversations on Close Up Radio, define the Gottman Therapy method and how it's really different from other forms of therapy.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, one thing I've been in the future, and I've really part of, I mean, when I first went to college, my passion was really to work with couples. I did spend a lot of time, you know, in my career working with children and adolescents, working in drug alcohol, I really, really have always had a passion. So in 2012, I really changed my specialties to relationships and trauma. And one of the things I mean about that is I've watched the evolution of how we help couples over time. And one thing I really, really just have to praise John and Julie Gottman, in our field, I mean, they're rock stars. They were recently awarded the National Institute of Health Lifetime Achievement Award. This is amazing stuff. And John is an MIT grad, and then he became a psychologist to help our marriages. And Julie has really added, you know, her specialities with that. And it's really a one-two punch. And I'm just delighted that we have a couple that's really designing this kind of intervention. But, you know, we have over 40 years of really strong empirical evidence of why if we do these behaviors, if we teach this information and people adopt them and accept influence and work with them, they're easy, they're fun, and it really, really revolutionizes the quality of relationships. So that's one of the reasons why I've really embraced it. But the biggest thing is when I work with couples, just how happy they generally are when they adopt this and work with that. The one thing I should say, too, for folks, just two quick things, and I love being on radio because you can all go to your computers, but if you go to the Gottman Institute, they have a very strong presence on the web, and they're initiating and they're doing new things for couples to really enhance their relationships independent of therapy. So if you just go to the Gottman Institute, what I would do is just type Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N, and you're going to come up with Gottman Connect, and then just look through it. I think you'll be very happy. For our time today, one of the things I encourage listeners to do, just to put the Gottman Relationship House images on their, look that up on Google or whatever, and follow along a little bit, because when I make reference to the Relationship House, you'll be able to see it. We can always do that after our live time today. But like I said, if you want to follow through, that might be something that helps you with our talk today. The other thing is that, you know, we've already done two of these, talks, you and I, Jim. So you can always go to my website or go to Close Up Radio, and you can listen to the previous ones, because what I've tried to do is to build on the knowledge base from the other two. So I always invite people to go to my website or go on to Close Up Radio and review that as well.
Tell the listeners, if you can, about some of the exciting upcoming plans and retreats and the workshops as well, because I know those are in the works, and you're very, very excited about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I made mention of is, you know, we've tried to do these, but of course, like a lot of things, COVID has shut these down. So I want to say two things, because my mission, you know, in a macro way, is to get everybody as much of, you know, this help as they want. So it's not just uniquely come see me. If you go to the Gottman Institute, a lot of times they will talk about upcoming events that's not necessarily mine. And some of them are virtual. So some people don't want to go somewhere. Maybe they're worried about COVID and they'd love to get this information. So when you go on these websites sometimes, you can also find a virtual one. But I've been promising you all, you know, an opportunity. If you want to come see me, if you want to hear me and see me in person, some colleagues of mine are actually doing a live version of the Art and Science of Love. This is near Austin, so you should come to Austin now anyway. It's gorgeous, just to see Austin. But there's a place very near Austin called Camp Allen. It's Camp Allen, Texas, actually. It's easy to remember because my last name's Allen. But we are on November 5th through the 7th doing an Arts and Science of Love, and this is going to be live. It's not virtual. So what I encourage people to do, if they're interested, is to go to www.findmycenter.org/couples-retreats. So you can go back later and get this, and we can maybe save at the end, but www.findmycenter.org/couples-retreat. It will take you to a place where you can sign up for this. Now, again, a couple of my colleagues and friends are going to be doing this, but I'm going to be helping, because what happens in Arts and Science of Love is we break into smaller groups, and then we have people that come around to just personally attend as people do some of the activities. On that website, you'll see this. I'm just going to read some of what I saw on it, but you see it all there. It just says 2 days filled with engaging presentations and experiential activities designed to confirm, strengthen, or restore your love. This is for couples of every age, ability, and sexual orientation. It's shown to achieve results similar to those of 6 months of marital or relationship therapy, and it has produced positive results for 94% of those who have attended the Arts and Science and Love. I, myself, on a couple occasions, maybe even a few occasions, actually flew out to help John and Julie Live do these huge ones in Seattle. So I'm really delighted that we're going to have one. And I told my friends, oh, my gosh, we have a live one. I want to be there. I want to really help people and see people in person again. So that's coming up. And like I said, when I asked them, I asked to have a couple slots available. If we get a ton of these signed up, what we'll do is we'll just put another one in place. We'll just go ahead and add a different one. So I did want to make all of you aware that is coming up, and we're really excited to do it. But you can hear from my voice, I'm especially excited to actually do one of these live and really help people and see people in one of these workshops. So just to let you know, those are there, and they probably, when you go on to that website, will have other options for you as well.
You know, with these, it's exciting, and I'm happy for you, because I know you're very super excited about all of this. There's nothing like, you know, in person, the Zooms and all of that. You know, they serve their purpose, but there's nothing like eye contact and you know, just having it in person. Going to a restaurant and dining with somebody across from you is a little bit different than trying to do it virtually. The food doesn't taste as good when it's virtual.
Oh, yeah.
So you're really
glad you can get out. That's cool.
Yes. Very exciting that these things are happening for you and for everybody. Obviously, the times are still relatively uncertain in certain ways. So what are, from your perspective, Don, some really healthy ways couples can cope and find joyful ways to communicate? Obviously, there's been a lot of stress. There's been a lot of anxiety. There's been a lot of, you know, unpredictable nature to everything, and everybody's had to pivot and shift and judge shift and pivot and maneuver in quick ways to get through everything we've been getting through. So what are some of those ways that couples can cope and find joyful ways to communicate?
Yeah, well, that's really, really a good question. And I'm just going to direct you back to the last two of these radio spots that we've done, because, you know, I've already talked about, you know, avoiding the four horsemen. And I'll probably make a note of that towards the end, but I want to stay with my new one today. And I also talked in the past about what we call dreams within conflict, or resolving gridlock issues. Those are the issues where we fight on top of the argument, but really what we're fighting about is these deep core beliefs that we have that we don't want to let go of. And, you know, we talk about how to move those gridlock issues or perpetual problem issues that are gridlocked to dialogue, and then really solve them. So I've said that in our past interviews. But today I'm going to talk about something a little bit different, and that's what we call in the Gottman Institute regrettable incidences or aftermath of a fight. And you notice I say or. It's really the same intervention technique. But regrettable incidents is one of those that, well, it was annoying, but it's over. Aftermath of a fight is, it was regrettable, but we thought about it. So it's really the same intervention. But I want to talk to you about why it's important. And the other thing I want to do is to talk about, you know, when I mentioned John and Julie and 40 years of science behind why these interventions work. So when I explain this to you, I'm going to take a little bit of time and explain the medical side of the relationship, why this is so important from a medical perspective in terms of our body feeling connected to our loved one. So it's just very, very important. So let me give you an example, Jim, of a regrettable incident that happens a lot of times, right? So if you think about it, you know, when we spend time with our person, how much time do we really spend? I mean, you know, you think 8 hours of sleep. Okay, so now you got two-thirds left. Well, let's say you work 8-10 hours a day. That's what people do these days. And then you go home, and then you got to take care of the kids, or you got to get the house cleaned, or you got to get the groceries. And, you know, you start whittling that down. And how much do couples really have towards meaningful communication? And even if they do, a lot of times they're so tired, they just veg in front of the couch with the TV because they're exhausted, and they really don't get the time. So the reason I say this is because we don't avoid regrettable incidences. We expect them because there are so many factors that are going into the individual experience that make it possible for us to miscue with our person, right? So let's say I'm really tired. Let's say my wife really wanted me to help with dishes tonight. I sit down in front of the TV. It looks like I'm watching TV, but if you ask me what was on the TV, I may not be able to tell you because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Let's say she said, hey, can you help with the dishes, right? Right. Let's say she asked if I can help with the dishes, and I just go in the other room, right? Well, what is she thinking? What I didn't even notice it, let's say, right? But that's a regrettable incident. I mean, we don't avoid them. We just say, look, they're going to happen. But what's so important about that is how we handle those situations. See, so you might say, well, wait a minute, Don, everybody with COVID here, we're all under each other's feet in the house. We're seeing each other too much, but you still have the same problem because now you might have, you're too hungry. Let's say something made you angry. You know, let's say you're really feeling lonely. Let's say you're exhausted, you're tired. You know, those kind of things go into making our communication poor, right? So when these miscommunications happen, right, then what do we do to resolve it? And then I'm going to talk a little bit about why it's so medically important. Because, see, John and Julie don't just tell you, hey, yeah, you ought to try this. This might work, you know. It's not based on that. It's by watching master's marriages really do this well and then reporting to us the best practices for this. And then, like I said, after I explain our intervention, what I'll do is I'll talk a little bit about the math behind it. So what happens is we have a regrettable incident. So I just made something up. But let's say I come back from the other room and my wife is mad at me because I didn't help with helping with the dishes. And it really meant a lot to her because she was really tired too, and maybe she had imagined, oh my gosh, I'm just going to sit down and watch TV with you. And I blew that all up and I didn't even know I did it. Right. So what we do, so like if a couple was in my office and this happened, there's a five-step process we teach. Now, each one of these we take turns with. So the first person goes, and then when that one's really done to the satisfaction of the talking person, we go to the other person. We take turns. But this is fun, and I'll tell you why this is. The first thing we do is we talk about feelings. So we have a book. Now, if you're in my office, I have a book called The 54 Feelings. But, you know, if you're just at home, you talk about your feelings, right? And not just kind of secondary feelings like happy, sad, glad, mad. Also like disappointed, confused, lonely, maybe abandoned, maybe discounted. I mean, those real deep feelings, you want to use those too. But this is interesting. When the first person goes, you just say all your feelings. You just say all your feelings. And then you go to the next person. You don't talk about the feelings. You just tell your partner your feelings. What you do on the other side is really look at your partner's eyes and really give them the sense that you're paying attention to how they're feeling. There's a researcher, I really like him. His name's Dan Siegel. And what he talks about with feelings, he says, name it to tame it. And what we find from research in the Gottman Institute is when people mention feelings and feeling words, it actually down-regulates their pulse. Their pulse drops. They become more relaxed. They become more able to be less upset. So this sets the stage for the next step, which is to slow down and not be so upregulated or, you know, upset or maybe even flooded. It helps settle us down. So once the first person goes, the second person goes, and they say all of their feelings. They say all of their feelings. And the other person does the same thing. They really notice their partner. Wow, I really hear you're feeling disappointed. I really feel you're feeling confused. I really see that. So the person really sees that and feels seen, soothed, safe, and secure, right? So then you go to the second step. Now, this is fun. If you ever watch John and Julie do this, they're adorable. But what John always says is you're both right. You're both right because how you see it, your subjective experience is right for you. This is the way you see it. So what happens now is the first person starts to say, so maybe my wife says, you know, Don, I was really looking forward to watching that show with you, and you didn't even notice I asked you to help with the dishes. And, you know, I couldn't understand why you didn't want to help me, and it really made me mad. So what I would do as the listener is to say what I hear you saying. And then I say that back to her satisfaction. Yeah, Don, you got it. That's right. That's what I said, and I think you got it all. If I didn't get it all, she might say, well, tell me more about the part where I was confused. Tell me about that. You know, and then I'd go back and say, oh, well, what I hear you saying is that you were really confused. And it makes sense to me that you would be confused and talk about why. Now, let's say you're in an argument with your person and you really can't find anything you agree with, right? Well, try to find at least one thing to validate your person's experience of it. So what you do first is what I hear you say. And then the next thing you say is, you know, it makes sense to me that you might experience it that way. Making sense doesn't mean you agree with it, right? You might have a teenager that wants to go to a concert that's really too dangerous for them. And you might say, I can really see why you'd want to go to that concert. But it doesn't mean you're going to let them. It doesn't mean you agree with
right.
them. But it validates this idea of, I see why you would want to go. So what I hear you saying, it makes sense to me that. This is me. This isn't everybody in the Gossip Gottman Institute. But then I also like the couple to add some affirmation that says that you like your person. You know, it makes sense to me that way. And, you know, it's so wonderful about you that you really look forward to watching TV with me. I mean, that makes me feel so good. And that is so you, that you really always try to engage me and connect. I always try to make some affirmation that's positive for the couple. Now, that's just me. But that's step two. Now, once that's done, you know, my wife might say to me, now, tell me your experience. And then I may say, you know what, I sat down and I was so tired. I had the TV on, but I just blocked everything out, and I didn't even notice you said anything. And then I went to the other room, and I came back, and here you were all mad at me, and I didn't know why you were mad at me. I just went to the other room, and so that would be my experience. So then what she would do is say, well, what I hear you saying is, and then she would say that back to me in a way that I go, yeah, you've gotten it. Then what I would want to hear is, well, you know, it makes sense to me that if you never heard me in the first place, why you never said anything. That totally makes sense. And then the third thing she might say is, you know, and you really never do try to just ignore me or just not relate to me. And that is one thing really great about you that I noticed is that you really, really never intend to do that. So just something that keeps it on a good plane. Once you're done with step two, so we've got feelings and now detailing your side, the third one is what really ticked you off. I mean, this one really sent you going. Now, if it's just a regrettable incident, you may not have any of these. People might say, I was annoying, but nothing triggered me. But some people go, you know, I was just thinking how many times I've done dishes, and wow, I just really went from 0 to 90 because I was just, oh, boy, that just got the best of me. So then what you do as the person hearing it is that you ask questions about, you know, that triggering so they feel validated again, that sense of, wow, my person really understood me. And then the other person. Right now, what really got you going with that? Well, you know, I went out and I was tired, and you started yelling at me about the dishes. I really got mad because it was like, oh my gosh, here I am working so hard, and I can't even go into the other room. And you know how that gets. I mean, we it's a human experience. So that would also meet the same thing. Oh, you know what I hear you saying, and wow, tell me more about how that upset you, and just really feeling like your person cares about the fact you've got triggered. That's number three. So we have feelings, then take turns telling your side, and then what really triggered you. The fourth one, and this is where I really think it's cool, each person takes time to say what they did wrong, what they could have done better, right? So maybe she said, you know, Don, I could have assume maybe you didn't hear me and walk over and say, hey, you may not have heard me. Can you help me with the dishes? You know, maybe that's what I could have done better, right? That's something that maybe I just assumed it and I shouldn't have. And then it's my turn, and I might say, well, you know, one of the things I could have done is rather than just sit down on the couch and kind of zone out and kind of be selfish with my own fatigue, maybe I should have just said, okay, I'm going to go do that, but let me just take a minute to make some bids for connection and just let her know that I see her and that I care about her and I've missed her from working all day. Maybe I could have done better with that because I sure just went and sat down and did nothing. So the fourth one is take turns saying what you could have done better or that you did wrong, right? So the first one is say your feelings. The second step is take turns telling your side of how you saw it. The third one is what really triggered you. The fourth is take turns saying what you could have done better or that you did wrong. Then once that's done, and this is really, really cool, the fifth one is tell your partner one thing that they could do different in the future. So, you know, honey, maybe next time what I need you to do is to not assume that I'm ignoring you or maybe just come after me and say, hey, you know, let me repeat that. You know, one thing I plan to do different is to just not come out of my office and not stop and think, what do I need to do to connect and make bids for our relationship? That's what I'm going to do different. And then, you know, you take turns, both of you going back and forth with those two questions. But then at the very, very end, the last thing you do is you ask each other, what do you need to do to put this behind you? Because it's a regrettable incident. One of the ways you know it's a regrettable incident, by the way, Jim, is you just say when you're not upset anymore, because that takes a while. But one of the things you want to do in your own mind, right, is that you want to be able to just know that, you know, I wish I could have a do-over with this. You know, if I just had a do-over, it would be better. You know, gridlock issues aren't like that. Gridlock issues is you want to stick to your guns. But this is, gosh, I wish we had a do-over. And if this is a fight, not a regrettable incident or a fight, John and Julie always say, make sure that you're far enough away from the incident so that you don't start fighting again. John likes to say, imagine this is watching a movie of it rather than this is actually you too. So that's so important. You know, what can we do to have a do-over? Now, let me talk a little bit about the science behind this. What happens with our mind is that when we don't see that our partner feels our pain, that we don't see them noticing that we're hurting, because what we're busy doing is fighting, right? But that's not really what's happening in your body. What's happening in your body is you're saying, hey, my partner doesn't see I'm hurting. So if you don't fully process the regrettable incident, it sticks in your mind. It's actually, there's a funny term that comes up with this that I learned when I was like 18 in college, my first year in Psych 201. And it's called the Zargagic effect. And I always laugh because somebody made a big funny word with something so minor. But what isn't minor is what a Zargagic effect is. You see it when you watch TV and it says, you know, some important thing happened in the world today, film at 11. That's a Zargagic effect advertising thing. What it does is it makes you worried about it so it stays in your mind so you tune in to see the film at 11. What happens in couples is if you don't fully process the regrettable incident, it sticks. It's a pebble in your shoe. So that Zargagic effect makes you build past resentments and they start building up. And then if you're looking at the relationship house, because I asked you to do that at the beginning, it goes into what we call negative overriding sentiment, or it starts to get in the way of the positive perspective, which is the top of the friendship house. So if you don't fully exfoliate these regrettable incidences each week, it sticks in your mind. Well, hey, can you give me a better way of understanding that? Well, Jim, let's say if I say to you, here's a phone number, don't write it down, but at the end of our talk today, make sure you give that to me. So you think about it and think about it and you stick it in your RAM memory and it's like, okay, Don, I've memorized it. So at the end of it, I say, what was that number? And you give it to me and I say, oh, thanks so much. Then I call you at 6 o'clock tonight and I say, hey, what was that number? And you go, oh my gosh, that number, I didn't keep it. It's just, it's long gone. I forgot about that 5 hours ago. The reason that happened is your brain didn't need it, so it let go of it. It fully processed needing that data. You want that with regrettable incidences, and that's maintaining your life daily and moment to moment. So that's why I get to you today, Jim.
I just want to slide this in quick, Don. DonAllenPhD.com. That's DonAllenPhD.com is the website to connect with Don. Would you believe the whole half hour is gone?
Oh, that was fast.
30 minutes. That went by in a New York minute.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to make sure the website, DonAllenPhD.com, is mentioned for those listening live. It's still recording right now. We record the episodes in their entirety so people can hear them later in the archives in full. But this was a pleasure. There's so much to share and so much to say. Hopefully we'll have you back. We can expand some more. Love to talk about the upcoming holidays and, you know, how to deal with that and all the other things that we're working through in our lives. But this was fantastic, Don. You're a bundle of energy and passion and wisdom and knowledge and authenticity all rolled into one. And love these conversations with you. They're always so invigorating and insightful. And I hope we do get a chance to share and chat some more. That would be a pleasure.
Well, that'd be great. And Jim, always, I especially like talking with you. I know that, you know, just before the episodes, I know we always talk afterwards some too. And it's just, I know that you all at your radio stations share the same mission and passion I do. And I think part of the energy I have in my voice is working with you and knowing that, you know, your radio station is also, you know, committed to the well-being of people that are listening. So I want to say on behalf of the listeners, just thank you so much for this experience and for all of them.
Oh, that's very beautifully said, and I appreciate that. And you've the jig is up. You figured us out. That is exactly what we do and love doing it for sure. I, again, encourage folks for more information or to request to be included in the upcoming couples retreats and more, you can go to DonAllenPhD.com, which would be fantastic. Don, always a pleasure, and I do hope we chat some more. There's so much more to expand on, but this was really fantastic, and thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks so much for chatting with me today, and I look forward.
Absolutely. Same here. You be well. Don Allen, our very special guest, again, exceptional clinical social worker, certified EMDR specialist, consultant, public speaker, and certified Gottman therapist. Love these conversations with Don and hope to have him back soon. We thank you for joining us as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time, inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back in just moments with another fantastic guest celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, you be well, take care, and thanks for being with us on this episode of Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.